Our gospel this morning comes from Luke. In the echoes of the prophet Isaiah and Mary's song of praise, Jesus reveals surprising things about who enjoys blessings and who endures woe. He invites his disciples to shower radical love, blessing, forgiveness, generosity, and trust, even on enemies and outsiders. Our gospel, this All Saints Sunday, comes from the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus stood up and looked at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you've received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. I might have told you about her before. Grandma Johnson. Now, not my blood grandma, but all of us littles at Trinity Lutheran Church in Douglas, North Dakota, knew her as Grandma Johnson. I was probably 4 or 5 years old at the time. And I am reminded of her in this All Saints Day. A petite woman, at least as my memory holds, always simply dressed, gray hair put up in a bun. She lived in a very small, simple home. Very low roof line, white clapboard. She was the leader of our Sunday school. And each week, we gathered at worship, and she would call us forward, and there we would sit and listen to her as she read from a devotional book that tied story and scripture together, and then she would ask us questions about what she had just read us. She is one of the saints who taught and loved me into the faith. This was so many years ago, though, that I can't remember what her voice sounded like. And as a matter of fact, when I really think about it, the features of her face are kind of murky. I know that she wore glasses, but I can't remember if they were thick, black glassed rims or if they were like a wire-rimmed glass. But what I do remember, really, really remember, is how she loved us into the faith. We celebrate the saints this day. Those among us and those who have become part of the great cloud of witnesses that is talked about in the book of Hebrews, those that surround us and cheer us on in our daily living. At the same time, I want to encourage us to pause this day and ponder the question that I ask the kids. When you look in the mirror, do you see a saint staring back at you? In other words, are you a saint? So it's easy enough to get caught up in the idea that saints are only the giants of the faith, I mean, think about it. The writers of the gospel, what are they called? St. Mark, St. Matthew, St. Luke, St. John. Or there's that one by the name of Paul, who was a persecutor of the early church, has an encounter with the risen Jesus, and all of a sudden becomes its greatest missionary or evangelist, St. Paul. Or you might think about the founders of some of the early orders of the church, St. Benedict or St. Francis. All of them giants in the faith in and of themselves. But for Martin Luther, this wild little monk who began pushing the idea that the church needed to reform for the sake of faith and faithfulness, he cautioned that spending too much time looking at saints had a dark side, that we would spend all of our times focused on them and not on God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Luther argued that all of us who follow the risen Christ, who love and serve our neighbors, are saints. So I don't know about you, but I can honestly tell you there are lots of times that I don't feel very saintly. My actions, my words, my thoughts often fall short of saintly beings. But Luther was also a realist. He had this incredible ability to take two things that were polar opposite and then hold them in tension. So on one side, he was able to say that for Jesus' sake, we were saints, set free from our sin and sinfulness because of Jesus' death and resurrection, while at the same time being fully sinners who continue to sin and live in sinfulness. So at the same time, we are saint and sinner, he said. For Luther, it was the Word of God and the Word alone through the power of the Holy Spirit which had the ability to shape us, to mold us into the people that God intended us to be. So what if this text from Luke, this portion of the Sermon on the Plain, were read as a roadmap for what it might look like to live as a saint for the sake of others? If you think about it, this text begins with a world turned upside down. And I've told you before that that is a recurrent theme in the Gospel of Luke, a world turned upside down. In this text, it seems to me that the blessings and the woes are assigned in the wrong places, right? I mean, at least in the way that we think most of the time. Jesus says it's the poor, the hungry, those weeping, or the hated ones who are blessed. Really? Have you ever felt blessed in the midst of your weeping? While Jesus says it's the rich, the full, the laughing, and those who have people speaking well of them, who are offered a woe or a caution. This ordering flies in the face of our commonly held belief that when all is going your way, when you've got a full belly, a full bank account, a full house of kids or grandkids, God has obviously blessed you. But that's not kingdom thinking, at least according to this text in Luke. Maybe because it's in the hard days, when life is not all that grand, that we are more apt to remember God, to call on God, to rely on God for the strength to carry us one more day. So am I the only one, and maybe I am, who, when everything is going well in my world, can easily forget about God. I can turn in stealth instead and rely on myself, my gifts, my own smarts, my own hard work. And then all of a sudden, woe becomes a caution. Now, I don't think that this is a dismissal that being full is good, that gathering to laugh with friends is joyful, that having the money you need to buy the things you need for life is a gift. I think the woes rise up to remind us that when all is well, when we have been blessed abundantly, we are called to share all that we have, whether it is our joy, whether it is our relationships, whether it is the gift of money. We're called to share for the sake of others, to share with those who don't have those things. The text then shifts, I think, into living examples of what saintly living might look like. Again, let me be clear. Saintly living is not just for perfect people. If it were, it would exclude all of us. Saintly living is for all of us who follow the risen Christ. Because Jesus died and rose again and set us free. Free for the sake of our neighbor. Free to even love our enemies. Now that's some hard work. How do you love? Russians who at this point are entering into Ukraine and causing atrocities. What does it look like to love someone who has polar opposite political views from you and are more than glad to tell you how wrong you are, and yet we're called to love? Through Jesus' resurrection, we have been free to pray for those who hate us or curse us. That's even harder work. To take hatred and anger directed toward you and turn it instead into prayer to God. A prayer for peace, a prayer for sustaining of your own personhood, a prayer for changing hearts, maybe your own, maybe the others. What I hope you hear in all of this is a completely different way of living than what the world offers up to us. The kind of living that keeps our eyes firmly focused on God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power of the Holy Spirit is with us now, right now. Focused on continuing to cry out to God to mold us into the person who can love in the face of hate, give in the face of having things taken away, speaking with compassion even when harsh, harmful, or hateful words have been spoken about you or to you. Jesus paints a picture of saintly living this day, the kind of living where our eyes, our hearts, are connected to Jesus. And then our eyes are turned to our neighbors and our hands are set loose in service. Saintly living is not about perfection. Saintly living is about living out the gift of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.